Yeah. Well, good evening, everybody. It's good to see you all. I'm going to continue. The lesson I did this morning on trouble and tribulation has kind of a companion lesson that goes along with it, and this is about peace. And one of the things that I've sure noticed, especially as I've gotten older, is how precious peace is to me. It seems like when you're young, you know, and I'm talking like little kids, like we had Waylander this morning with his trucks, right? It's like what he really wanted to hear was that smash as they bounced off the floor. You know, it's like that's what he wanted. He wanted that excitement, that noise. And little kids love that. And teenagers love, you know, go to places that are rowdy. Go to the fair or whatever, you know, go to parks. It's all rowdy and everything. Or we go to, you know, a football game or a basketball game or something. Everybody's cheering and all this kind of noise and everything else. The older I get, man, the more I want to just have peace and quiet. And one of the things that I've been really appreciating these last several months, when we're praying at home, when Sarah and I are praying at home, I'm just so thankful for peace in my home. You know, that it's just peaceful. That it's quiet and peaceful, and we love each other, and we're there together, and we can just enjoy a little period of quiet and peace together. And I was thinking, preparing for this lesson, you know, it's like, you remember your first child, and then you remember the first child, the time the child slept through the night. And besides being so totally exhausted that you couldn't do anything else, but you remember that feeling when it was like, oh, and just that wave of wow, I can actually relax, you know? And it's definitely that way now. I know we were there at Sarah and Andy's with Isaiah and Naomi this last weekend and Friday night, and Naomi for some reason she didn't want to go to sleep. She's 18 months old or whatever. She didn't want to go to sleep. She was so excited, but she was exhausted, and so she got to crying, and she got to where she was crying to keep herself awake, you know. And then she'd start falling asleep. She'd take a break from the crying and start falling asleep, and then she'd start crying again, and it was this angry, frustrated cry, like I want to stay up. But we had about a solid hour of her just going full volume, you know. And when she finally went to sleep, it was just like, oh, you know, we're just ready. But, you know, peace is one of those things in the Bible that is talked about a lot. And it's one of the great promises of God to his people. And it's one of the words that's used to characterize heaven. Now, we think of heaven, you know, there's lots of singing going on. We're just praying about that. There's lots of singing going on. There's lots of praising and just being wonderful in the presence of God. But it also tells us it's going to be a place of peace. And, you know, when you get out in the world and you look at just turn on any television channel, right? It's all noise and jangle and whatever. Or what is a so-called news channel. You know, back when I was little, it was actually news, you know. Now it's just whatever group you happen to want to listen to, they'll put six heads on the screen at the same time yelling and shouting at each other. You know, they're all trying to argue and doing whatever. And there's just no peace. And so when I looked at this, you know, that verse we were using this morning from Jesus in John 16:33. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And we were looking at the tribulation part of that verse, but here he says, in me you may have peace. And in John 14:27, he says something similar. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And you get this, we were talking, Stevie and I were just talking, you know, in the lesson, his class this morning, we were talking about the great multitudes, it says in that verse in Mark, great multitudes thronging Jesus so much so that they had to have safety plans, right? It's like he's going to get pushed off the mountain or crushed in a crowd. And you just think about what it was like to be at peace in the middle of all that, these people shouting and crying, you know, heal my child, you know, take care of me, do whatever, be our king, whatever they were honoring. There's a psalm that, we're going to have a couple of psalms here tonight, and there's a psalm that the world uses so much that sometimes I think we just kind of go, yeah, there it is again. It's Psalms 23. I'm going to read it. I want you to just listen to it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's just such an amazing picture of peace and security and safety. And, you know, we're given this. Why is this everybody's favorite psalm? You know, why is this read during times of trouble and funerals and all kinds of things? Because it says God is caring for us. He wants us to have that peace and safety and security. He wants us to. In Psalms chapter 4, verse 8, it says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is a verse that I always think about, a baby sleeping in your arms. I've used this analogy before, but everybody who's ever experienced it knows exactly what I mean. A little baby, little newborn baby asleep. The total perfect peace in that child. Not a worry, not a care, not a hurt, not a need, not a want. Perfect peace, as long as you're holding me. And that's what he says God gives us. There's a long psalm that I'm going to read through here. Psalm 37, and it is just so full of this. You know, there are times when you're preaching and teaching that there's words that you want to say. You want to compose your message, and you want to give your message. And then there are times when you read something like this, and you say, I think I'm just going to read this and let it speak for itself. Listen. Close your eyes if you want. Listen. Focus on the words. Let the picture be painted in your mind of what God is teaching us here. Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be anxious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and will wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just. He gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword, they bent the bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter in their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice. He does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright. The future of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord, and he is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Now that's a long reading, but is there a little bit of help in there for almost any situation we find ourselves in? That's one of those things you could get up every morning and read, probably make your whole day better. You know? Mark the blameless man, observe the upright. The future of that man is peace. How do you get it? You trust God, do good, delight in the beauty of the things he's created, commit yourself to God, cease from anger, don't fret, show mercy, give, wait on the Lord. There's so much in here. In Isaiah 48, God, by the prophet Isaiah, was talking to Israel, and this is before the destruction of Israel, and they had become so wicked. And God says, verse 17 of chapter 48, "Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit and lead you by the way you should go. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants also would have been like the sand and the offspring of your body like the grains of the sand. His name would not have been cut off nor destroyed from them before me." Down to verse 22. "There is no peace, says God, for the wicked." You know, the contrast is so strong here. He says your peace would have been like a river and like your righteousness like the waves of the sea that just never stop. But you chose to be wicked and there is no peace. There's so many verses, we're not going to cover them all. But I wanted to bring a couple here. In Isaiah 32, verse 17, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. My peace people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Do you see the key? The key to peace is righteousness. Seeking God, doing his will, serving him, and you'll have peace. Psalms 119, 165, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." Do you want peace in your life? Love the law of God. Drink it in. Just relish it. And it says you'll have great peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Focus on God. Keep focusing on God. I think that's one of the best bits of advice we can give people, especially young Christians or people in times of trouble. Focus on God. Keep your focus on God and you'll have peace. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." You know, sometimes we find ourselves in really difficult situations. You know, I was talking about some of those troubles this morning. But sometimes they're long-running troubles, right? It's because of a relationship or a family member or something like that that's just, it's just not going well. And you got to live with that all the time, you know? Notice what it says. Seek peace and pursue it. How are you pursuing peace? How are you hunting it down? How are you seeking it? Obviously, prayer is a good way to do it. But you know, it's hard, even in a situation of strife, it's hard for the person causing the strife to do it in the face of love and peace and light. It's really hard sometimes to be that person of peace, right? In a rough situation, it's really, really hard. But that really can help. It's like the Bible has this thing about pouring oil on the waters. You know, they used to do that. They used to do that when there was a shipwreck or something. They'd pour oil on the waters to smooth out the waves. And it's like, can you be that person? Can you pour peace? Can you pour oil on the waters in a bad situation? I have these situations at work a lot of times. I work with people who aren't Christians, and sometimes, boy, they're just at each other. And I try to be a peacemaker. You know, the scripture talks a lot about that. But how do you do that when you're in the middle of that situation? That's where you need God's strength to help you. Strife-ridden situation. How do you be that peace and bring that peace? So, you know, I'm going to read one section from Philippians here, kind of by way of kind of final instructions for Christians. It's a great piece here, a great little section, and we say it a lot, but it's got a lot to tell us. This is Philippians 4, verse 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there are any virtue and if there are anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. We have the recipe. We have the instructions. What it takes is our effort. It takes our faith, and it takes our trust in God. And it takes, look, notice what he said, the things which you have learned and heard and received and saw in me, these do. Think on these things. Think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. We have only brothers and sisters here tonight. We don't have anyone who hasn't obeyed the gospel or is of age to do that, but we always want to have an opportunity to share one another's burdens. You know, that's one of the ways that you can help give peace to someone else is just be there. Just be there. You don't have to be a great counselor or be able to fix it, you know, as much as us guys try to want to fix things. Just be there. Just be there and love them and share it. Help carry that burden. If you have any needs, we can go ahead and stand and sing. You can come at this time.